This afternoon we've got three Bible readings. The first one from Psalms, and move forward in the New Testament to Ephesians, and then lastly to the text being Numbers chapter 6. So first of all, if you please open your Bibles to Psalm 67. Psalm 67, where we read, "May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us, that your way may be made known on earth, your saving power among the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the people praise you, O God. Let the people praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him." And now if you could please move to the New Testament, where we pick it up, the reading from Ephesians chapter 1. We're just reading the first 14 verses of Ephesians chapter 1, where it reads, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chooses us and before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the richness of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mysteries of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory." And finally, we move to Numbers chapter 6. So it's the last verses of Numbers chapter 6, where we pick it up in verse 22 to the end. So Numbers chapter 6 from verse 22. "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." So far, God's word.
The sermon that I'm privileged to read to you this afternoon is entitled "The Lord Bless You," and it's a sermon written by the Reverend John Haviland. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The theme of this sermon is, the Lord blesses His people with His grace and favor. And the purpose of preaching this sermon is to encourage and comfort us with a knowledge of God's blessing and favor, both today and in the year ahead of us. At the end of every worship service, the person leading the service pronounces the benediction. Benediction, it's an old word which comes from the Latin, and it means blessing. The benediction is the final blessing of the service. It's, in fact, a great climax to the worship of God. We have blessed Him, and now He blesses us. And as we go from the worship service Sunday by Sunday, we go with God's blessing. We go on our way with the assurance of grace, of the grace and favor of God. The words of blessing we use in our worship services as Reformed churches are taken from various passages in the Bible, like this one that we've just read in Numbers chapter 6. If you'll remember, God gave these words to Israel while they were camped around Mount Sinai. They'd been there for about a year, and during that time they'd built the tabernacle and they'd received God's law for their new life as a nation. Then they made preparations to move on towards the land of Canaan, and as they prepared to travel, the Lord commanded Aaron and his sons to use these words to bless the people of Israel in their worship in the tabernacle. And they prepared to travel with the assurance of God's blessing. If you break it down, there are three phrases to this blessing, each of which contains two parts. In the Hebrew, each phrase is progressively longer. The first phrase has three words, the second has five, and the third has seven words. Or if you count the Hebrew consonants, the first has 15, the second has 20, and the third phrase has 25. By this structure, God wanted to show that His blessings became progressively richer and fuller. He wanted to show Israel that He would amplify His blessings to them, extending His favor. The idea of blessing and cursing is strange to us. In our society, we aren't used to these ideas, but it was familiar language in the ancient Near East. The people then thought there was power in the spoken word. That is why Balak hired Balaam to come and curse Israel in Numbers 22. This happened when the people of Israel were camped right on his doorstep. But the people of Israel, they did understand this differently. The power to bless or curse did not lie in the words themselves, but they knew that they were the words of God. This was not magical. There was no hocus pocus. This wasn't an incantation or merely a wish or even a prayer. Rather, it was an announcement, a pronouncement. When the priest raised his hands and announced these words at the end of worship at the tabernacle, he was proclaiming God's blessing on his people. He was bestowing God's favor on Israel. The people were blessed because God had chosen to bless them. And God had decided to bless them because they were His people. He did not bless everyone in general, nor anyone regardless of who they were. He blessed His covenant people, those whom He had chosen. This was the significance of His name in verse 27. God's name represented His person. When He put His name on the Israelites, He was identifying with them as His people. They belonged to Him. They were His, bound to Him in a covenant relationship. And these words of blessing are often spoken by the minister at the close of worship services today. Now today they are addressed to you because you are the New Testament people of God. You are His covenant people in this age, in these last days. The minister today is not a priest because the Old Testament priesthood was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. He is now our high priest. Rather, the minister announces the blessing that God will give to you because of Christ. The Old Testament proclaimed what Jesus would do. The New Testament pastor proclaims what Jesus has done. Well, what has Jesus done for us? What did the Old Testament blessing anticipate, and what does this blessing announce to us as the New Testament church? It announces, the Lord bless you and keep you. We use the word bless or blessing quite easily, don't we? Someone sneezes and will say, bless you. And incidentally, as an aside, did you know that that practice comes from one of the plagues of the Middle East? Of the Middle Ages, when someone sneezed, it was a sign of the onset of the plague, and others would wish the suffering one God's blessing. We also sit down to meals and ask God to bless this food. We pray in church and we hear someone ask for a blessing on our country. What do we mean? Bless in Hebrew is derived from a word meaning to kneel. It means to bend the knee, to show honor, reverence, and awe. We can bless God in prayer, in praise and prayer, and God blesses us in grace and favor. When the word used for bless is used of us to God, the NIV translates it as praise. But when bless is used of God to us, the NIV keeps the same word, bless. So to bless someone is to value them, to honor them, to show them your favor, to be kind to them. It is to be good to them. The blessing of God is the goodness of God, writes Calvin. In the Old Testament, God promised that if His people obeyed Him, He would give them physical blessings. He promised them good health. He promised a large family, abundant crops, wine and oil, a land of their own, an inheritance for their children. In the New Testament, the emphasis is more on the spiritual blessings that God promises. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, we read in Ephesians chapter 1. When Peter preached to the crowds on the day of Pentecost, he told them that God had sent His servant Jesus to bless you. That word sums up the work of the Lord Jesus and all His benefits to us. Your sins are forgiven. You are adopted into God's family. Your guilt has been cleared. You have been declared righteous. You are given eternal life. You are promised a glorious future. So when these words are said at the end of the service, they are the assurance that God will give you His love and His favor in Christ. And then next comes, the Lord bless you and keep you. The word keep can also be translated as guard or watch. The same word is used in Psalm 121. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. This isn't a guarantee that all will go smoothly in life, that there will be no sickness or sorrow or suffering. Many of us have experienced sickness in our lives, or death in families, tension in marriages, unemployment, surgery, depression. Yet the Lord assures you that He will keep you in and through these times. He will keep you from discouragement and difficulty, from becoming cynical when disappointed, from bitterness and sickness, from anxiety and trouble, from fear when undergoing trial, and from unbelief when Satan attacked you. The Lord bless you and keep you means God will give you his love and favor and guard and protect you from evil. You need to believe this blessing. You need to remember it and hold on to it. The Lord will do this for you. But the blessing continues. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. And this reference is to the face of God. This reference to the face of God is what we call an anthropomorphism. It's a description of God in human terms. God is a spirit and he doesn't have a human face, but it is described like this to help us understand God's kindness and his love to us. God's face will shine upon you. Sunshine, we know, is associated with things that are bright and cheerful and joyful. When the day dawns after a long and difficult night, don't we immediately feel better for it? When the sun breaks out after a few days of fog and rain, we begin to feel brighter, more positive. This is the mood of the blessing. May God give you the light of his presence, the warmth of his love, and the brightness of his life. The thought that we're looking at is repeated in the Psalms many times. We read in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And in Psalm 36, "In your light we see light." Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. We see in Psalm 80, "Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord." We read in Psalm 4. All of this anticipated the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came as the light of the world. He is the light shining in the darkness. For God said, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has made his light to shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. We read this beautiful verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. God has allowed us to feel the warmth of his love in and through his Son, Jesus. He announces this to us at the close of worship, and as he does so, he assures us of his grace. And further to this, in the benediction, he adds, "And be gracious to you." God's grace is his free favor. It's his kindness shown to people who do not deserve it and who have not earned it. It is his life given freely, graciously, simply out of his goodness. The grace of God was pictured for those Old Testament people in the substitutionary sacrifices and the Passover lamb. But it's seen most fully in the birth and death of God's Son, Jesus. There we see the amazing grace of God who loved us so much that he gave his one and only Son. It was this undeserved favor, this grace, that saved a wretch like me. This grace hath brought me safe thus. This grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace that will lead me home. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And that brings us to the third part of this blessing. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. When someone turns away from you, they're choosing to ignore you or snub you or slight you, or at best, leave you and walk away. But one of the great fears expressed in the Psalms is that God would turn his face away. "Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble," we read in Psalm 69. Or take the experience of Job. "Why do you hide your face from me and consider me your enemy?" In Job chapter 13. However, if you turn towards someone, then you are showing them that you are interested in them. You want to hear what they have to say. Think of times when you've seen a man and a woman sitting opposite each other in a coffee shop or a restaurant, face to face, eagerly talking to each other. They face each other because they are intensely interested in each other. Here God promises that He will turn His face towards you. He will care for you. He will take an interest in you. He will give you His comfort and compassion and consolation. He will look after you and look out for you because He's interested in you. He will turn His face towards you. Believe this. Take this home with you today. And then we read, and He will give you peace. We live in a world of war. The Russian invasion of Ukraine, war in Syria, war in Nigeria, many countries, too many to name. There is not peace, but discord. Throughout the world, there are millions of people also who long for peace in their own lives. There are people who are at war in their marriages, people who are at war in their families, in their workplaces. Their lives are full of conflict and arguments and disagreements with others. In all this trouble, the Lord promises peace. This is more than the absence of war. Biblical peace, or shalom, to use the Hebrew word, is a condition of wholeness, of goodness, of rightness, of well-being, a well-being that is physical, emotional, and spiritual. It is a peace with God, with others, and with ourselves. The peace of God is the sum total of all His gifts. This peace comes about through the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us peace. He is our peace. He made peace between us and God. He promised this to His disciples and to us when He said in John chapter 14, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." These are God's words of blessing. Each time the people of Israel worshipped God at the tabernacle, they would return to their tents with these words ringing in their ears, "The Lord bless you." Each time we come to the close of our worship service, we hear words of blessing from the Lord. The benediction is not merely a sign that the service is over, or a chance to look up the last hymn, or to gather your books, or to put on your coat. No, it's a declaration of favor from the Lord. You can go forward into another week, in your homes and schools, and places of study and work, with these words of comfort, hope and assurance. The Lord bless you as His people. This blessing was reinforced by this threefold repetition. God would certainly bless them. He would certainly show them His favor. That threefold repetition anticipates the Trinitarian blessing of the New Testament, where we are promised the blessing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." As we prepare to leave worship Sunday by Sunday, we can look forward to the parting blessing of God. And there is one hymn that conveys that sense of anticipation, and we'll sing it soon. It's hymn number 370, where we read the words, "Saviour, again to Thy dear name we raise, with one accord our parting hymn of praise. We stand to bless Thee ere our worship cease, and now departing, wait Thy word of peace. Grant us Thy peace throughout our earthly life, our balm in sorrow, and our stay in strife. Then when Thy voice shall bid our conflict cease, call us, O Lord, to Thine eternal peace." The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.